May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 984. Hark how the gospel trumpet sounds, Christ and free grace therein abounds, free grace to such a sin as thee, and if free grace, why not for me? Hymn 984.
Thank you. The reading of the Word of God is from the book of Genesis, part of chapter 24. The book of Genesis, chapter 24, and we will read to verse 31. And Abraham was old and well stricken in age. The Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house, that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. But thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac. The servant said unto him, peradventure, the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must I needs bring thy son again unto the land from whence thou camest? Abraham said unto him, beware that thou bring not my son thither again. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me and that sware unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land, he shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. And if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this my oath, only bring not my son thither again. The servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham his master, and swore to him concerning that matter. The servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed, for all the goods of his master were in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia, unto the city of Nahor. He made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening, even the time that women go out to draw water. And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day, and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. Let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee that I may drink, and she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also, that the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. Thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. And it came to pass, before he had done speaking, that, behold, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel, the son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin, neither had any man known her. She went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher. And she said, drink, my lord. And she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. When she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also until they have done drinking. And she hasted and emptied her pitcher into the trough, and ran again unto the well to draw water, and drew for all his camels. And the man wondering at her held his peace, to wit whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. It came to pass, as the camels had done drinking, that the man took a golden earring of half a shekel weight, and two bracelets for her hands of 10 shekels weight of gold, and said, "Whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee, is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in?" She said unto him, "I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which she bare unto Nahor." She said moreover unto him, "We have both straw and provender enough, and room to lodge in." And the man bowed down his head and worshipped the Lord. And he said, "Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I, being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren." The damsel ran and told them of her mother's house these things. And Rebekah had a brother, and his name was Laban. Laban ran out unto the man unto the well. And it came to pass, when he saw the earring and bracelets upon his sister's hands, when he heard the words of Rebekah his sister, saying, "Thus spake the man unto me," that he came unto the man, and behold, he stood by the camels at the well. And he said, "Come in, thou blessed of the Lord. Wherefore standest thou without? For I have prepared the house and room for the camels." May the Lord bless the reading of his word to us and help us in prayer. Dear Lord, we seek grace. Oh, that humbling influence of grace. Lord, we bow our head and we pray for the grace of reverence. Pray for the influence of the Holy Spirit. Oh, do hearken now and assist us to draw near to thee. Grant to us that Holy Spirit's teaching. Lord, we present our prayers once more, begging that precious name of the Lord Jesus. We would be thankful for being gathered together again around the word of truth here. Lord, oh, be mindful of us. Look down from heaven, thy dwelling place. Look upon these that are gathered in thy courts. Lord, give them a worshipping spirit, Lord. May we worship thee in spirit and in truth. Oh, shut out from our minds and thoughts all that is carnal, all that is worldly. Lord, deliver us from these roving mind that we have, Lord. Lord, we're here to worship. We're here to hear what God the Lord will say. Lord, that we might, Lord, lose sight of everything else. Oh, do help us to cast our burden on the Lord. Help us to pray, Lord, for the presence of the Lord Jesus here. Lord, oh, come amongst us. Remember the promise, even to where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And dear Lord, we too pray again that we may this night be instructed and taught. Lord, we thank thee for the dependence, Lord, that we have in ourselves nothing worthy, Lord, of thy help. But Lord, we do trust that we have a need, and we do pray that thou would supply that need. And we would pray especially, Lord, as we hear, that thou would be mindful of those that hear to listen. Lord, what have they come to listen for? Lord, what's in the mind? What's on the spirit? What's in the exercise? Lord, living souls we trust are found here. And we do pray, Lord, that they may come with the desire to hear, Lord, and to hear from thee. Lord, we seek that, Lord, that they may lose sight of everyone but Jesus Christ. Lord, it needs much grace to hear the gospel. For Lord, to whom is the gospel suited to but the gracious? Lord, the sound of words is not sufficient. Lord, the need of the soul is, Lord, the evidence of grace, the fruit of the grace of God is the desire, Lord, to hear from thee and through thy word. So we pray, Lord, that none may be sent empty away. Lord, where there is a true exercise, Lord, where there is a true waiting, Lord, may it please thee to indeed grant those tokens. Lord, we read in the word of God of that vast number of souls that were fed, Lord, and they were satisfied, but there was fragments that remain. Lord, not to be left, to be taken with them. And so, Lord, we pray that there may be those fragments that shall remain, that shall be indeed made a blessing in after days. Lord, we read in the book of Ruth of one dear one who beat out what she'd gleaned and took it home. Lord, may there be found here gleaners. Lord, not satisfied with husk. Lord, not satisfied with anything but the good word of God. And Lord, may it please thee that there shall be a going home with the word and profitable in times to come. Lord, there are those that we pray for here. Lord, Jesus describes them as those that hunger and thirst after righteousness. We pray that they may be filled. Lord, what that can be, we cannot truly come into the knowledge of it, Lord, because so infrequent are these times. So seldom are these blessings when, Lord, there is a satisfaction, Lord, of a fullness of thy mercy and goodness. Lord, we read also in Matthew about the woman who could speak of crumbs which fall from the master's table. Or we venture, Lord, to thank thee for the gospel table. And Lord, who is it and who shall it be that shall profit by that expression, crumbs from the master's table? Lord, a lifting up, a strengthening in the ways of God, a confirming, Lord, of that little hope. Lord, that sacred season, Lord, when Christ is precious. Lord, let these seasons and times come. Oh, with one we would say indeed more frequent, let thy visits be, and let them longer last. Lord, leave none to go home empty. Lord, if there is found in any a desire for the truth and for the things of God, Lord, may they be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. But we do pray also, Lord, and now let us understand what we mean. May there be none here that shall have a religion that begins and ends in God's house. Lord, we do pray to be delivered from such religion that it is to be found only where there's a gathering together. Lord, there is a way to walk. Thou hast given to thy children a spiritual path. Lord, sustain them, whether in or whether not in thy house. Lord, sustain them especially when they have to deal with this vain world of evil. But Lord, thou wilt maintain the hunger. Thou wilt maintain the thirst. Lord, and so we pray for all. We pray for the young people. O Lord, we give thee thanks for their presence and ask thee to remember them. Lord, they're blessed with earthly parents. We pray, Lord, that they may have a God in heaven. Lord, that good God and Saviour. Lord, that they may see in thee their Heavenly Father, that they might see in Christ their elder brother. Spiritual parents, Lord, if we could humbly say so. And Lord, make them, oh, may there be those here that desire for the things of God, not just the things of time and sense. We would bless thee, Lord, because thou art a God of providence. Thou dost remember all the needs of those who thou hast and will bless. But Lord, grant to these young people something that shall abide. Things of time, Lord, wear out. Things of time are expendable. Things of time, Lord, are often stolen. But may there be that which shall abide. Lord, fruit of the Spirit, blessings from heaven, a token of thy special love. Lord, may they know what it is to walk and be like the children of God in deed and in truth. Lord, hear prayer for the church that's planted here. And may it please thee that there shall be, Lord, a gathering into the church. Lord, those who are constrained by love to walk in the ways of thy command. Lord, we pray for the ministry here, that it may be, Lord, a ministry which has the approbation and smile of a three-one God. Send thy servants here, Lord, with that which shall be by the Spirit applied to the poor and needy. Lord, may that Spirit also bring thy people, Lord, into such a time of need. Oh, to be delivered, Lord, from vain repetition. Oh, to be delivered, Lord, from chapel worship. But Lord, we pray that in this place there may be found, Lord, the psalmist tells us, he will regard the prayer of the destitute. Lord, what a good place to be. It is painful, but it's a good place, Lord. We do seek the welfare of this cause. Remember too, we pray thee, the office bearers. Lord, sustain them, give them grace. Sustain them, help them to draw from thee what is needed in wisdom and understanding. But Lord, may the responsibilities of these offices, Lord, which we believe thou hast given to them, not be, Lord, the state that Martha was in. Lord, to leave them with this burden of being troubled and careful about many things. Lord, we pray for them that they may be helped and that thou wilt encourage them. We pray also, Lord, that there may be a true desire given them for a pastor, to settle amongst them, Lord, one who shall have them in his heart, and to whom, Lord, thou wilt be found in their heart. This, Lord, is scriptural, and it is also profitable. I will give pastors after mine own heart. Lord, this is the blessing of the gospel church. Lord, we pray thou wilt give it. Hear us too as we would remember all in affliction's path. Lord, according to thy will, may thy healing hand and restoring mercies be known. And we think of thy afflicted servants. Lord, raise them up and use them. Lord, and may their afflictions be sanctified not just to them, but also to their hearers. And others we know in affliction, we would that it was for the furtherance of the gospel. Lord, in the case of Hezekiah, he had to say, by these things men live, and in all these things is the life of my spirit. Lord, we pray that tribulation and affliction, losses and crosses, though so obviously irksome to the flesh, may be profitable to the soul. Lord, hear prayer for those in bereavement and sorrow. Lord, and comfort them and uphold them. Hear prayer for all whom thou hast sent to preach. Lord, we pray that others may be brought into this pathway, Lord, younger ones, if it's thy will. But, Lord, send forth those whom thou hast laid the burden of the word of God upon. Keep us, Lord, from the wrong spirit. Keep us from pride. Grant us humility, the fear of God. Lord, keep us, and especially from imitating the world, Lord. May thy grace rule and reign in our hearts and over our pathways. Help us to look unto thee for everything, and to draw, Lord, from thee what is needed day by day. Do pray, Lord, for a divine preparation for glory. Lord, we are hastening on to that day when the place that knows us now will know us no more forever. Lord, we're in that path which is described by the psalmist as the valley of the shadow of death. And Lord, we are far along that pathway. And oh my God, prepare my soul for that great day. Oh, wash me in his precious blood, take all my sin away. Dear Lord, thy people have particular pathways. They have personal pathways, Lord. Something which is provided for them. Something which they are to be found in. Lord, give them grace to be submissive to that path. Lord, there's a lot in us that would pray the pathway away. We would seek ever to be free from hindrance or tribulation. But Lord, where it is for our good, may we have that submissive spirit. Lord, and we seek to, we dwell in most evil times, Lord, to be preserved from the evil of the times. Lord, the world can have the world. Lord, thou hast satisfied us with sufficient for all our needs. Lord, let the world have the world. But Lord, grant to us, Lord, an appetite and a desire for those things which are eternal. Time things, Lord, are only time things, as good as they are and as necessary as they are. But eternal things, Lord, will never dissolve nor wear out. Lord, and eternity will prove, Lord, the blessings of those mercies. Or may we have that seal and token that we belong to Christ. And Lord, thou hast purchased thy people by suffering and dying and rising again for them. They are a purchased people, that they belong to thee. Lord, thou delivered from Satan's kingdom, may we be found, Lord, in that blessed number. So, Lord, we thank thee for all thy kindness through another day, and for everything, Lord, thou dost do for us. So come to our help at this time. Lord, do break the bread of life. Lord, hear our prayers, pardon all our sins and all our iniquities. And we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
In 527, what a divine harmonious sound the gospel trumpet gives. No music can with it compare. The soul that knows it lives. Hymn 527.
Thank you.
dependent upon thee. Lord, for his help, I would ask your attention to the reading, the 24th chapter of the book of Genesis. Some words you will find in verse 27. 24th chapter of the book of Genesis, verse 27. I, being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. I, being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. You will no doubt see how this elder servant was a godly man, was a very godly man. One or two things as a seed would determine that. That was his humility. In all the expressions that he makes in his prayers, he always brings to the Lord honour and glory and the Lord's blessing upon his master Abraham. But especially to, this is where I hope the Lord will use the word, in verse 12 we read the beginning of his first prayer. Send me good speed this day. He was on an errand, strange as it seems to be to us, of course. Nevertheless, it was a time when he needed the Lord's appearance, and he needed to see that the way that he walked was right. And in the verse which we have, I hope, by the text, we have this thanksgiving and praise. Because that the Lord, he said, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. And again we read in verse 48, and I bowed down my head and worshipped the Lord, and blessed the Lord God of my master Abraham, which hath led me in the right way. You would not expect me to keep, as it were, to the context, but rather to try, with the Lord's help, to bring before you those things which, oh, I do hope that you will find an echo of these spiritual things in your own soul. We said that there is evidence of his grace, of the grace of God in him, but there's the evidence in that grace of humility. And he speaks in this way, I, being in the way, the Lord led me. And you know, I looked, and it came to my mind during the day in the book of Proverbs, I think it's chapter 3, we find these words, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Now, the Lord help us then to look at these words in this 27th verse, as this is applicable to a soul that is under divine leading. We often hear and often say, what a blessed thing it is to be a seeker in Zion. A seeker is a soul that has such an exercise for what he hasn't as yet received in the blessing of it. So he seeks for it. But can you not also, I hope there is amongst us those who shall be able to see the leading of the Lord, and I being in the way, what way was he, and what way is it that the Lord leads his people? Well, in the psalm, the 107th psalm, we have about being led forth by the right way. And that is the way in which all the children of God are led. The Lord, if he leads you, will lead you in the right way. The Lord Jesus Christ said of himself, I am the way, the truth and the life. And one of the clearest evidences of God's grace, you know, is to be able to trace what it is to be led. Now, a pathway has a beginning and a pathway has an ending. I being in the way, you look at it in a gracious way. Where have you come from? And where are you now? What place have you in the covenant of mercy and grace? Is your name recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life? If it is so, you will have come from somewhere to this place. The hymn writer says, he saw me ruined in the fall, yet loved me notwithstanding all. And you'll also see, I trust, and only the Lord can bless his word, you know, whatever I say will be forgotten by this time tomorrow, possibly. But I'm sure of this, that if the Lord's in the matter this night, it may be in your soul a searching word, an inquiring word. You know, the poet says, Lord, in thy house I read this room, and venturing hard, behold, I come. But tell me, can there be amongst thy children room for me? Now, if the Lord is leading you and directing you in this way, you will have come from a path so far, come along from in the path from an unregenerate condition. This word I is not spoken, not by any means in some proud or arrogant sort of way as a Pharisee would, but there is humility in this path. I, the vilest of sinners, if you read somewhere in your if the Lord's dealings with you, if you can trace the Lord's hand, then you are the most unworthy of characters in a house of God. If you can trace the Lord's hand, if all your religion and mine is nothing more than something that we've generated, then it's not the Lord's hand, and therefore it's not for our profit. But if you can, and I hope there is this evidence of exercise, this burden, this the Lord will unfathom, as it were, or reveal to you what it is to be led aright. You must see, and I mean this, to see that it is from the Lord, is that he'll show you the Lord's hand in it. It's not coming from one cause to another, as some of us have done, but it is by the mercy of God that we have been led to that place. We move from one cause to another, but we proved it wasn't of God, and so we had to come back to the previous cause, and there it was of God. Now, the way, this is the way of grace, but this way is also the way of divine purposes, and it has also the sovereignty of God in this way. Why it should have the sovereignty of God? Because there was a purpose that God was yet to reveal. And as you know, as you read the chapter through, I'm sure you have, many a time, you'll see the purpose for it. And that purpose is as clear as crystal. But before you and I come to the full purposes of God's mercy and his grace, you must be led along that pathway. And I'm sure of this too, when such that are under this leading, it can only prosper. But whatever you say about this path, that path, or the opposition, the trials, or the difficulties, it can only be for your good if God is leading you. He never leads his people without that there is a purpose of mercy in it, and there's a purpose of grace. Sometimes it is to be found after many days. You've got to try. If you look at the way in which Joseph was found to be in Egypt as the second person in the land, able to distribute the corn to whom he will, you will see his responsibilities was great. But the Lord led him there. And if you read, I think it's chapter 45 of this book, you'll find that he says so. It was not you that brought me hither, but God. But also, follow the pathway that he walked. And I'm sure of this, and in fact the scriptures tell me so. Until the word of the Lord came, the word of the Lord tried him. Until he came to that realization or revelation, as he came out of this deep trial, so he could see the Lord's hand in it. And it's really remarkable, and it's most miraculous. But the Lord brought him from where he was to where he is, through darksome paths, through trials and troubles, from imprisonment, captivity, false accusations, when he was nothing but a slave. I being in the way, the Lord lead you, the Lord lead his people here to look back now in the way in which he brought you to the house of my master's brethren. And when it comes to the reality of spiritual things, if you can't trace the Lord's hand in it, then it isn't worth anything. But if you can trace, and you will trace if you fear God, you will trace the way in which the Lord met with you. Now, where did he meet with you? You know, all the blessings of his grace are not found only in God's house. But when he calls his children out of the way which leadeth unto destruction. And ever remember this, dear friends, the way is described in the gospel by the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's only two ways. There's one way to heaven and there's one way to hell. There's not different ways. Experiences, of course, differ from one to the other. But it's described very simply, but very solemnly, as one is the broad way to destruction, so the other way is a narrow way which leadeth unto life. But if by his grace and mercy he is leading you and has led you from that broad way to destruction to that narrow way which leadeth unto life, you will wonder at the way that he works, and you wonder at the way that he does, but you will see ultimately and eventually, from time to time you will have it confirmed to you, that it is the leadings of the Lord. Has he made you sick of self and fond of him? Has he made you feel the affliction of sin on your conscience? Has he brought you to the footstool of mercy, where you had to bow your head and seek from him those graces of his Spirit will uphold you in this way? Or perhaps not only in the ways of grace, but in the ways of his dealings with your soul, that they've been trying ways. The apostle writes to the church at Corinth, and he says the fire should try every man's work, of what sort it is. It doesn't say it's the wrong way, you know, because it endures. The fire shall not hurt thee. I only desire thy dross to consume and thy gold to refine. Not very good poetry for me, but you'll know the hymn, I being in the way. But there's also another thing. if you're in the way and I'm in the way everlasting, it's the Lord which leads us, and it's from the Lord which will uphold us. When the Lord deals with you in grace, he'll deal with you in providence. When he deals with you in grace, he makes you to feel and me to feel the wretchedness of our old condition. Mine's, alas, a lost condition. Works cannot work me remission, nor my goodness do me good. Sins within me, all about thee, but the remedies without me, see it in the Saviour's blood. In the purposes of God, in redemption, in atonement, that's already accomplished, that work, but the knowledge of it isn't, or the need of it isn't. All his people are eternally safe, but until they are the subjects of God's grace and mercy, this way, this way of grace, this way of sovereign grace, this way of remarkable grace, this way of personal grace, you will find, as you go along in this way of grace, that he'll unfold day by day, perhaps, such teaching and such blessing, that you will wonder whether you're going to perish in hell forever. One of the sure signs, and these adversities of the soul, if I might call it so, are only known by the children of God. But such is the state of the natural mind, and such is the workings of Satan against the soul, it would be portrayed as being that God is our enemy and not our friend. That he shows you these things because they condemn you. But condemning you is one thing, but to send you to eternal woe is another. How can you, if you're not in the way everlasting, how can you, if you are taught these gracious things of your own depraved state, how can it not have this effect upon you, that you'll call upon God in the need of mercy? No soul that's ever pleaded for mercy has ever been found in hell. Such souls that are under divine teaching of his grace and mercy, that clearly shows you, makes you feel the sadness and the badness of your condition, the purpose of it is to bring you to the footstool of mercy. And gracious souls have proved it. I mean those who have been in the way some long time. You think of that case of the Apostle Peter. Here he was, a servant of God, a preacher of righteousness. There he was, saying to Christ, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Flesh and blood, Christ said, hath not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven." And the next thing you find of him is that he's denying he ever knew him. He denied he ever knew him because he was fearful of being brought into that tribulation of which his master was. But you see, even his sin had that effect upon him. Has sin got some effect upon you? Has it brought you to sorrow? Has it brought you to weep? Has it brought you to cry? And we read in the Gospel, Gospel of Luke, that Peter remembered the words of the Lord Jesus and went out and wept bitterly. And it was a part of the way. I being in the way, the Lord led me. Led him into the sorrows that sin only can bring. Sorrows that you didn't know before. Perhaps it was that you had twinges of conscience. Perhaps as you've offended this and that. But you see, when you offend God, he'll touch your conscience with a sense of condemnation, his condemnation. What's the difference? Dear friends, the difference is eternal. Where a sinner is without grace and without life, and therefore without hope, he will be found indeed under the condemnation of God. But there's one thing that stands out supreme, solemnly so: he'll have no desire for mercy. No desire for mercy. but these that are in the way everlasting. And that's what this way is. The lead of God into the deep, as well as into the height, as well as into the length, as well as into the breadth of divine teaching. But the purpose of it all is that he will bring you and I to mercy. But he will bring you to the place where you will see mercy in the need of it and mercy in the joy of it. I being in the way the Lord led me. Now, you'll come to a time in the first epistle to the Corinthians, we read the testimony of the apostle. Now, I'll just take a little time, and not much, but we find this. This was his testimony. If this is your testimony, that will be sufficient. That will be sufficient for you and anyone else who listened. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I laboured more abundantly than they all, yet not I. Now that's where you can put that word in the text. I, being in the way. Now, dear friends, but for sovereign grace, that wouldn't be there. According to some of the Pharisees whose records in the scripture, it's never entered their head, and it never will, nor their soul. But the soul that is blessed with grace will wonder at this word, I, not as big I, but as this poor I, this destitute I. And that's what the effect of grace will have upon his children. It will bring them in humble, and it will bring them in needy, and it will bring them to the footstool of mercy, wondering at the mercy of God towards them, and leaving others to perish in their sins. But what is the purpose of it all? If you should ask the purpose of this chapter, you can follow it along. We've only read 31 verses. But if you followed it right through, you can see the purpose. The Lord was leading him to a path which the future was already clear and crystal clear to him, and will be. The purpose that he set out was accomplished, but the Lord led him to it. Not by his own intuition, not by his own suggestions, not thinking out this way or that way. What he wanted was the Lord's approbation. And that's what every soul under grace will want, the Lord's approbation. His smile. You want something to prove from the Lord himself and not from anyone else, but that the Lord's hand is on it, and his stamp of approbation is on it too, and his smile is on your pathway. Well, I'm sure that some of you say, well, that's why I don't seem to find. There seems to be no smile. Now, be careful, dear friends, lest you fail to give him the honour and the glory that's due to him. If you are the subjects of God's grace and he is leading you in this way, there will be times when you shall be more than satisfied that it is the right way. I didn't say it was going to be the easy way. I didn't say it would be the most profitable time as you would think. But if the Lord is leading you, he's leading you into blessings and favours which are yet to come. If he's leading you down into a sense of conviction of sin, he'll raise you up to a hope in his mercy. But you'll come down to that place first where there is no evidence of hope, and there's every evidence of helplessness. But that's profitable, because it will make you look to him and look to him alone. When the woman washed the feet of Jesus in the 7th of Luke, the Pharisee said of Jesus, if this man was a prophet, he'd know what sort of woman she was. But you see, he didn't know the scriptures, neither was he a believer in, nor did he understand the purpose of Christ coming into the world. The purpose of Christ coming into the world was spoken of him before he was born. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now, his way and his purposes is this, isn't it? It will bring his children to the light. They won't walk on in obscurity, they will come to the light. They will come to the light of the truth. And that light of the truth is found in the sovereignty of God's grace. I being in the way. To change the heart, renew the will, and turn the feet to Zion's hill. But there's another thing which so exalts the gospel and exalts the person of Jesus Christ too. God will make it plain by his divine teaching that they are brought to feel what their vileness is. Without, the hymn writer says this, doesn't he? The vilest sinner out of hell, that's what you just sung, the vilest sinner out of hell who lives to feel his need is welcome to a throne of grace with Saviour's blood to plead. I hope you can understand what I'm just about to say, but this is what grace will do. It will reveal the vileness in a soul. It won't excuse his vileness. It won't say, well, you know, you're not as bad as some people are. That's a Pharisee's word. I thank God I'm not as bad as other men are. Extortioners, unjust, or even as this publican. Well, the Lord knew what sort of woman this was, because he was the saviour, because he is the saviour of sinners, and that dear woman who washed the feet of Jesus was one of those he came to save. What's the evidence you say he came to save? She came to Jesus Christ, and there was a drawing in her soul towards him. She knew the plague of her own heart, and she was brought into sorrow and distress, but it brought her to the feet of Jesus Christ. Now, measure your religion, measure your spiritual understanding, your spiritual pathway, and I tell you this, if it's right, it will bring you to Christ. And you'll know it is so. But you'll come as you are. I do like that hymn, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee. O Lamb of God, I'll come. But you see, you'll come just as you are, not bolstered up with good intentions or promises or some sweet feeling in your spirit. You'll come with your sin. Nothing but sin I thee can give. Nothing but love shall I receive. I being in the way. And then there's this blessed word, the Lord led me. And I tell you this, you know, if you're called by grace, there will be times in your experience when you'll feel not only the vilest sinner, but when the Lord turns your captivity and begins to show you mercy, it will be as though you sat in God's house, as though you were the only one there. When it pleases the Lord to begin to encourage his dear people in the way of grace, the way of mercy, it is as though the word of his grace is for your soul and no one else. But I can't get away from this. The Lord led me. It is as though out of all that countless number that no man could number, out of all nations, kindred and tongue, that the Lord has pleasure, spiritual pleasure, love to that soul, and his attention of mercy is placed upon him. I being in the way. You know, there's this truth, isn't it? But your place and my place in God's house, I hope we can say it is by the leading of the Lord. But you know, there's a solemn thought. There is a solemn thought in this respect. We weren't left to be found in a place where it's destitute of grace and truth. You know, there's countless numbers of the human race in religion I'm talking about who are found satisfied with their abode, with their place which they are found in. And you know, they don't know any different than that is where they are and that's where they've been. They were brought in there by their parents and are still there. What a solemn thing it would be, you know, if Satan brought them there. But yet, there's no desire in the soul for truth or righteousness. There's no questioning as far as of their eternal standing or longing desire. But this is a people whom the Lord led. And so there's always a blessing in it. And I say that without possibility of contradiction. If the Lord leads you, and I tell you this, if he leaves you in paths of tribulation, it is for the good of your soul. If he leaves you in paths of darkness and there is no light, so it will be, so it will come to pass that he'll bring you out into a wealthy place. That's one of the psalmist's own words, wasn't it, when he speaks about that psalm which says, in effect, come and hear all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he's done for my soul. Now in that psalm, I think it is that psalm, or somewhere near there, you find that the psalmist speaks about these deep places. But he also says this, doesn't he? And he brought me out into a wealthy place. Now that's the purpose of God in his children. That's the purpose of God in this Abraham's servant. There was a wealthy place yet to come to. And the Lord was leading, so if you'll excuse the way of putting it, it must be right. The Lord was leading. I've got a great love for that hymn, 812. And it says, you know, in it, the way I walk cannot be wrong if Jesus be but there. I woke up the other morning with these words. Well, the last line of this verse. The verse is this. If Jesus seemed to hide his face, what anxious fears I feel, but if he deigns to whisper peace, I'm happy. All is well. You know, it was just as well when he hid his face. I being in the way the Lord led me. Now, I want to say this, dear friends, if he's leading you, it's the right way, as we've already said. But in the purposes of his grace, there is yet to come those things which shall be for your eternal good. Where you are now, it might not be comfortable to your spirit. It might not be what you might say joy and peace in believing. It might be that you could possibly say, well, it's certainly a path of tribulation. Where's the joy in the tribulation? But if you can trace, the Lord led you. And that's what this word says. I, being in the way the Lord led me, it is for the purpose of your soul, and the day will come, and that will be a blessed season, when you will join, rejoice in believing. But this is the word also, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. That sure place, that place which he has appointed. You know, and there's nothing haphazard about spiritual blessings, is there? You may think they are, or you might say, well, this one's denied me, and so on. But you know, there's nothing more certain than salvation, and neither is there anything more certain than the way of the Lord's leading unto salvation. We mentioned Joseph as we a few moments ago. How he could see that what came out of this trial and trouble to his advantage? Well, of course he couldn't see until the Lord unfolded it. And do you know, there's a word in Psalm 37, isn't there? The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his ways. But if you and I in the way everlasting, those steps are ordered steps, the steps of regeneration, the steps of revelation, the steps of salvation, are all ordered by the Lord. And the way to it, well, it may be that you feel that the way that you're in is anything but salvation or joy or comfort. But you see where the Lord leads, you'll go, you'll be brought there. He led them forth by the right way that they might go to a city of habitation, not that they might do. The Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. Has he, by his grace and mercy, led you to Calvary? Has he, by his grace and mercy, like the publican, led you to cry for mercy? Then he's led you to Christ. You'll never find mercy anywhere else but in Christ, and through Christ. Now he must needs go to Calvary. That word in John 14 is familiar, isn't it? I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Where was he going? He was going to Calvary. What was he going to do at Calvary? Bear the sins of his church upon him. He bore all that incarnate God could bear with strength enough and none to spare. But he must needs go to Calvary. Dear friends, for your soul's salvation, you must needs go to Calvary. I don't mean that in a literal sense, of course. What I mean is that the Lord will bring you to Calvary. He'll take you to those wounds of Jesus. He'll bring you to that offering which was made on your behalf. He'll bring you to that place where Christ gave up his human life, and died in the ruined place instead of his dear people. He suffered the just for the unjust. He'll bring you to the place where condemnation is to be seen, and that was Calvary. He'll take you to the place where the Lord Jesus Christ spoke of the hidings of his Father's face. That was Calvary. When he was made sin for us who knew no sin, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. But then, you know, the Lord has provided the sanctuary of God. It's despised, of course, by those who fear not God. But you know, can you not also see, do you not also wonder at the mercy that you have found where the truth is? And where the truth is, the Lord's led you there. He's satisfied you in your soul with a knowledge of the truth. You may say, well, he's not satisfied me in the joy of that truth. Well, no, that's coming. But where the truth is, the Lord places his people. He brings his people to places where they shall prosper. If you want to see an example, in that last chapter of Luke, the 24th, there were these two characters that were walking to Emmaus. And while they were walking, they were sad. But sadly, too, was their walk was mixed with reason. Now, it was a pathway to Emmaus. But it was in that pathway the Lord Jesus Christ met with them and drew from them those things which was distressing to them. And so he began to speak to them, and he said, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and entered into his glory? And beginning at Moses and the prophets, expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Well, what a sacred place. When you think they left Jerusalem, they left with a burden upon their spirit, and a burden they couldn't understand was two things which are the foundation of a Christian's hope, and that's the cross, and that's the resurrection. Those two things upon which the Church of Christ rest for its foundation of heaven. This was in dispute because they couldn't lay it straight. Dear friends, if you've got a pathway, you can't lay it straight. and I don't say this lightly, oh, may you be given grace to take it to Jesus Christ. May you have the grace given you to take it to Jesus Christ. Because he, in that time, expounded the scriptures, the things concerning himself, and he revealed the mind of God. And he brought to light the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ to them. You know, when the Lord speaks to his people, oh, I wish I could get closer to this. The Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. When the Lord speaks to his people, you know, it has a desired effect. Did not our heart burn within us when he spoke with us by the way? Well, it had a profound effect. They had revelations of Jesus. He took bread and broke it and gave thanks and broke it rather. And then he was revealed to them. Their eyes were open and they knew him. What a seasonable time. It's amongst the brethren that came about, you know. Amongst the brethren, the people of God. I've been in the way the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. He'll lead you to the place where he'll reveal himself. You know, I tell you this, if you spoke to those who are believers in Jesus in this place, I would tell you this, and I would tell you also, and I would think they would be willing to tell you, that in this place the Lord revealed himself. Every soul that has followed Jesus in the way, he's been revealed to them. And what has made them follow him in the way? Their love to him, because his love to them, that's why. And when that love is revealed, that's the revealing of the purposes of God in salvation. That takes a sinner from the broad way to destruction into the glories of the kingdom of Christ in heaven. I being in the way. I was going to say it's like singling out a person, isn't it? It's as though the Lord singled out a person. That this is what he does. What he teaches you and what he teaches me might be different in the way that he does it. But there's one purpose, and that's to bring that soul to glory at last. That you know you'll be found in this company, the house of my master's brethren. I'm sure of this, and it was once said like this to me. If it was possible that the wicked was brought into heaven, they wouldn't be at home there. Well, of course they wouldn't. Dear friends, this is where you will find home. And I mean a spiritual home. There may I find a settled rest while others go and come, no more a stranger or a guest, but like a child at home. I being in the way the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. What a collection of people. What a collection of saints then. What does the last but one chapter in the Old Testament say? Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord, and they thought upon his name. And they shall be mine. That's the seal. And they shall be mine. In that saith the Lord of hosts, when I make up my jewels, I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. There we must leave it. I, being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Izzard will preach next Lord's Day in the evening, and Mr. Gerald Fuss at our Thanksgiving services next Saturday. Let us close with hymn 394. What various hindrances we meet in coming to the mercy seat. Yet who that knows the worth of prayer but wishes to be often there? Hymn 394.
Thank you.
crown and bless what is thine, and forgive and pardon what is mine. Lord, now take us to our homes in peace. Forgive all that has been amiss. May the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God the Father, the fellowship, communion of the Holy Spirit remain with us now and always. Amen.